exciting times, and especially here in Henderson. Those who were associated with the programs yesterday and Friday night on campus realize that that's true among the students. Many good things going on, and we appreciate the work that's done by the students, and we're thankful that so many of you parents and others are in our midst this weekend and participating with us. We're excited about the work here at the Henderson Church. I believe Brother John Rickard read a list of 15 names a few minutes ago to be considered as deacons. Last Sunday morning, four names were presented to be considered for additional elders. And if everything goes according to schedule, when these 2 weeks are up, we will have 12 elders and 38 deacons. And our elders are leading us in a reorganization to encourage all our deacons in their work and to get them more involved so that our elders will have more time for shepherding the flock. And I think this is one of the greatest moves we've seen. We moved into our new building in the office part of it. One class met in it this morning. We anticipate being able to tell you before this week is over that we can use all parts of it. Still a little bit of cleanup to do. Of course, on the outside, the canopies and the paving. But we think by the end of this week that we'll be where we can use every part of our new building. And the building committee met this past week with an architect to look at sketches and begin plans for the blueprints for the second phase, which will involve taking the offices that are behind me here and extending this building out to the corners and making a big vestibule in this part, something that we really need. We probably have less foyer than any congregation that I know for its size. We are excited about what's happening. Within the last week, four new members. Within the last 2 or 3 weeks, two baptisms in addition to that. A lot of good things are happening. And we just wanted to tell you a little bit about it and to emphasize how glad we are you're here. Our contributions averaging over $200 above the budget each week so far this year. We believe with God's help, and if we'll stick to His word, that we have a great future in the work of the church. For several years now, I have tried to use the theme of making music or homecoming for the sermon on the Sunday following. This year has been one of the more difficult times. The theme for making music this year was Baby, I'm a Star. And I'm going to drop that first word, but I am going to speak this morning on the subject, I'm a Star. I think I'm going to get with Mark Crawford and others that are involved in choosing these themes and maybe help them a little bit in the future. But I think there is a sense in which I'm a star. As I began to think about this after knowing what the theme was and in the development of this lesson, I picked up a dictionary. By the way, I have found that that's a pretty good book to use in trying to understand what a word means. I read all the definitions that are given in the dictionary of the word star. And there were three of them that especially caught my attention in light of God's word. The first definition that I refer to this morning of a star is one who stands out among others. We have recently watched the basketball games in the tournaments. And almost without exception, when a team was mentioned, it was also said that there is a star on the team. There's usually one player or two who will stand out above the others. Maybe will score more. May not be more important in some ways to the team, but stands out among others. And we talk about there being a star basketball player, or a star football player, or star baseball player, as the case may be. One who stands out among others. A second definition that is given of a star is that it is an anchor point or a reference point, especially for those who are traveling. And I suppose that it must be the North Star, particularly, that the writer of this definition had in mind when he said this. That a star can be an anchor point or a reference point. And in a sense, all other things revolve around it, or it becomes the center of the subject that is being considered or discussed. An anchor point or a reference point. And a third definition that was given is that a star is one who takes a leading role in some kind of a performance. As I considered those three points of definition for a star, I thought immediately of the passage that Monty read a moment ago. And I submit to you that all three of those points are included in that passage. As a Christian, I'm a star. I don't mean by that I have any right to take an ego trip, that I have any right to be struck on myself or to feel that I'm better than anyone else, certainly not. But I am convinced that as a Christian, you and I can be a star. I know that. He said he was. Revelation 22:16, he says, I am the bright and morning star. And in all these senses that we've just suggested, Jesus clearly is a star. He stands out among all others. He is the anchor point of Christianity, and certainly he took the leading role in Christianity and making it what it is for us today. Jesus is a star. But we're not talking about Jesus as much today as we are those of us who are his followers. And in that sense, each one of us needs to be a star. Back to the passage that was read, notice that he says in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Doesn't that suggest that you stand out in a specific way? I like potatoes just about any way you can fix them, and it's extremely difficult to ruin a potato. One of my favorite ways to have potatoes is to have them mashed, or cream potatoes. You know, I was just thinking as I thought of this, I never remember sitting down at the table and having someone say there are not enough potatoes in the potatoes. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone say there's not enough milk or not enough butter, but it's not uncommon for someone to say there's not enough salt. Salt stands out. It has that taste, and of course it has the preservative idea also, but particularly in this case, it has that taste that stands out. It is usually what catches our attention if it is there or if it is not there. One little boy defines salt as being that which is most important when it is missed. And there's a lot of truth in that. Jesus was talking to his followers, and he said, ye are the salt of the earth. You are the ones who are to stand out. And here again, he didn't mean to pull people in the direction of the person or to be struck on oneself or to think too highly of oneself. But he meant that you as a Christian need to stand out so that people can see you and see that there is something different about you when compared to the world and the things that are in it. We as Christians do not want to stand out like a sore thumb, but we want to stand out in the right way. And in order to do that, we've got to be like Christ. And in that sense, we need to be like the star. We need to stand out among others and pull people to us and be a drawing force to pull people to us and to be that one thing that puts the taste in the situation and makes every situation better. I'm a star in the sense that I stand out. And I'm to be different from the world. Back in June or July of last year, I preached a sermon here on the subject, You're Not One of Them, Are You?, based on an incident that happened while we were in Hawaii. I went to Hawaii to participate in a family seminar there, a gospel effort. While I was there, visited some other places too, as you would expect. We were getting ready to leave the airport in Honolulu to go over to the big island of Hawaii where we would have the family seminar. And when we took our luggage up to check in and to be ready to get on the plane, the person there at the ticket counter said, your ticket's not right. So they took our luggage and sent me down to a place to get the ticket straightened out. And just as I got the ticket straightened out and came back, a bus unloaded 50 Japanese. And they got in line, and I was in line behind them. And one of the men at the ticket counter, I think remembering what had happened, walked over to me and looked up, and he said, you're not one of them, are you? don't know why he thought there was anything different. And I immediately thought, I wonder if he can see the difference, if he were to look at my life, if there's a difference, spiritually speaking. You see, that's what we're talking about. We're to be different. We're to show the world Christ and to show the world that there is something different and that there's something wonderful. And in that sense, you can be a star for Christ. But in the second place, a star is an anchor point or a reference point. There has been many a trip that was planned by the use of the North Star back before many of the modern instruments were available. And someone who was traveling at night when it was very dark but with the stars in the heaven and who knew a little bit about the arrangement of those stars could determine the direction in which he should go and the direction in which he should not go, because there was a star there to be the reference point and to be the anchor point. Now, I think it goes without saying that Jesus Christ is our star in the true sense of the word on this point. But the fact that he cannot be seen in person today and has returned to heaven, leaving his treasure in earthen vessels, and that's us, his followers, causes us to see that we then become the reference point. We become the anchor star around which everything else is to revolve. There's been many a family that's been successful because there was one Christian in that family. Sometimes just the mother. But the mother, as a Christian, became that anchor point in holding that family together and helping to bring the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to see that things went in the right way. There's been many a business which was successful because there was a star. There was a Christian person there who became that anchor point and kept the trip going in the right direction or the business going in the right direction because there was that anchor and there was that reference point. And there's been many a congregation of God's people who had a few key people in it who put themselves into Christ and anchored themselves in Him and stood on the foundation of God's Word and anchored their feet in that foundation and then stood firm for the things that were right and became that anchor and that reference point around which everything else revolved. It is said of Jesus, in fact, He says it of Himself in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He goes ahead and explains that if a man will follow me, he doesn't have to dwell in darkness, but he can know what's right and he can see the light. Jesus, you see, is that reference point. And then Paul said of the followers of Jesus in Philippians 2:15-16, that they are the ones who hold forth the word of truth and shine as lights in a world of darkness. He said, you're living in a world of darkness, but you shine forth as lights. There are many times that there are people out in the darkness of sin and worldliness who can be brought to Christ if we will just be that light. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about in verse 14 of Matthew 5 when he said, ye are the light of the world. And there are two reasons in that verse and the next that causes me to believe that the light here is like that anchor point of the star, because he says, you're a city that's set on a hill. Something that's up there where you can see it. And others are drawn to it. And then he says, you are a candle that's not put under the bushel, but on a candlestick. And most of us remember, some before electricity came on the scene, and many of us when electricity has been off, how one candle in a room becomes the focal point. And everything that goes on in that room is in reference to that point. That's the way a Christian ought to be in life. That's the way you and I become a star in the Lord's galaxy, in the home, in the community, in the church. As a Christian, a follower of Jesus, by being an anchor point for Him, I'm a star. And then the third definition is that a star is a leading performer. Or has a leading role in a performance or a situation that develops. A leading role. Is not that what's involved in verse 16 in our text. Let your light so shine, not just shine, but so shine, that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paraphrase that, and it says this: shine in such a way that others will follow you to Christ. Really, the only way to glorify God is to be a Christian. And so if you analyze that verse and put it together, that's what it's saying. You are the light, and you are to shine in such a way that you will lead others to Christ. You are to play a leading role in this matter, if you please. Paul put it like this as he's talking to the church at Corinth. He said, be ye imitators of me, or followers of me, as I also am of Christ. We ought never to be interested in getting somebody just to follow us as a man or as a person for what we are or what we might do, but as Christians, letting Christ be seen in us, crucified with him, his living in us, our living in him. We become that light then, you see, that can lead others to Christ. And sometimes, and you've heard this said so many times, the only gospel that is read in our lives, and the only light that is seen by some who are in the world of darkness is the light of a Christian influence. And there's been many a time that someone responded at the invitation of our Lord that we preachers thought we had said something that caused the response, when in many instances it's the pull of a Christian influence on the part of some member, perhaps some fine lady in the congregation, who is being that light for Christ and playing a leading role by living Christianity and letting the light shine in such a way that others may follow. In that sense, I can be a star. I can be a star by standing out, living right, where people can see that there's a better way and there's something different. I can be a star by being the reference point, where people can look at my life as Christ is seen in it, and then everything else can revolve around that because Christ is on the scene. Or I can be a star by taking a leading role in everything that is done to serve Christ and to lead others to him. Are you a star this morning? You see, we're talking about those who are stars in the Lord's galaxy, in Christ's galaxy. Are you a star? If you're not, you can be added to that. You can come this morning in faith, penitence, confess Christ, be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, be added to him, to his group of people, and you can become a star in every one of these ways that we've discussed this morning. If your light as a star has begun to dim, and you're not shining forth for Christ as you once did or as you should, perhaps you need to come back home. Yes, in the Lord's galaxy, you and I can be stars as we shine for him and lead others to Christ. And if you're not a star in that sense, you need to come as together we stand and sing.
Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam. From the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call.
'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. Be seated, please.
This morning, Brother Roger Whitten has come to ask for our prayers and to make a statement to the congregation. I'd like to ask Brother Jess Wilcoxon to come to the front. Brother Jess is one of our elders, and be ready to lead us in prayer after I have read Roger's statement. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the members of the White Avenue Church of Christ or the Henderson Church of Christ for the many cards, letters, phone calls, visits, and flowers during my recent confinement in the hospital in Nashville. But most of all, I'd like to thank everyone for their prayers. Without your prayer, I truly believe that I would not be alive today. Our precious Savior was watching over me and listened to our prayers. Now I'd like to ask for your prayer again in my continuing battle with this dread disease, and for your prayers to ask God to forgive me of my sins, to help me become a better Christian, to better serve the Lord in any way that I possibly can. I want to make my life right with the Lord. I've attended this congregation, the Henderson Church of Christ, since 1962. Carol and I brought our children, and where they too became Christians. I've been a member of the Church of Christ since 1972 when I was baptized at the Laurel Church in Knoxville. I'd like to formally request your acceptance of me as a member of this congregation. Christian love, Roger Whitten. We appreciate Roger's statement, and Brother Wilcoxon will now lead us as we pray together.
Our Father, as we bow humbly in thy holy presence, we are so thankful for the life that has responded this day to thy truths. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for our ability to do what thou hast requested of us, to pray for Roger. And as we stand humbly in thy holy sight, Father, we are mindful of the pulls of this world in which we live, the uncertainties of so many things that are done and said. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for Roger on this occasion. May his faith be strengthened. May his determination continue. And as a result, Heavenly Father, of his resolution this morning, living the Christian life, doing what is right, we pray for that home in heaven for him when life is over. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of his struggle at this hour and disease. We pray thy blessings upon him and upon those that are treating him and those that will have a part in trying to alleviate the body of the pain and struggle that is undergoing. We pray thy blessings upon him, upon us all. May we encircle each other with our arms of love, and may we walk together toward heaven. In Christ's name we pray, and amen.
Number 170 will be the song Before the Lord's Supper. Number 170. sing the four verses, and then after the fourth verse, we'll sing the chorus. Sing the four verses first.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he's to blame. Upon his precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, behold the king. They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, woman, behold thy son. He cried, I thirst for water, but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. To the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, it's finished, he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you just show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Shall we pray? Dear God, we come now before you. Lord, we ask you to help us to be focused on the things that we need to be focused on at this time, Lord. We ask that you would bless this bread that represents your son's body that was nailed upon the cruel cross of Calvary, that we, as your humble servants, might have remission of our sins. Help us to take this in a manner of